Turn with me in your Bibles to our Old Testament reading to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. We have read of Christ's entry into Jerusalem and the acclaim which he received as he went up to Jerusalem for the last time on his way to Calvary's cross. And we have heard the words which the crowds shouted out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Where do those words come from? Well, they come from Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is the last of a number of psalms from Psalm 113 to 118, which were sung at the time of Passover. And so Psalm 118 was on everybody's mind as Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the last time. It's in verse 25. We're going to read this psalm in its entirety, but I would have you note that it's in verse 25 that we come across the word Hosanna. Your English translation says, save now, I pray. Well, the Hebrew is Hosanna. Save now, I pray. O Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Psalm 118, a great prophetic psalm, pointing to our King, even the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll read this psalm in its entirety. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fail, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Having heard the word of God, what is your response?
Amen.
Dear people of God, we often call this Lord's Day Palm Sunday, but maybe we should call it Psalm Sunday or Psalm 118 Sunday, because this is the focus of what takes place prophetically fulfilled by Jesus Christ on that day long ago. When Jesus, having set his face like a flint to go up to Jerusalem to pay for the sins of his people, for you who are trusting in him, fulfilled all prophecy. And he fulfilling the prophecy of Psalm 118 of Zechariah chapter 9. He entered into Jerusalem as one acclaimed as the Son of David, the one who came in the name of the Lord, the one who is particularly the Blessed One. What had the Father say? What had the Father said about His Son? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so as we think then about Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem for the last time, as we think about Palm Sunday, as we think about Psalm 118 Sunday, what is it that God wants us to glean from this great prophecy of old, from Psalm 118 in relationship to what we've already read in the Gospels? Well, there are four words which I want us to think about as we consider this prophetic passage of God's Word. The first word is anticipation. The second word is confirmation. The third word is correction. And the last word is reorientation. And we want to look at each of those words this morning together. First of all, anticipation. Anticipation. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who had gone throughout all of Galilee and at each one of the appointed feasts of the Lord up to Jerusalem and throughout Judea. He had gone about doing things which no one had ever done. He had healed the sick. He had cast out demons. He had been one who had gathered crowds that were almost uncountable to witness his signs and his wonders, which he did, those signs and wonders certifying who he was. Better yet, who he is. God the Son, come in the flesh in order to be the second Adam, to do what our first father, the first Adam, failed to do, and what we could never do. Christ coming, the God-man, him coming and doing what no one had ever done before. And it was just recently, before going up to Jerusalem for the last time, that he had done his greatest sign, his greatest wonder. He had raised Lazarus from the dead after he had been dead for 4 days, rotting in the tomb. Jesus simply by his word said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus had been raised by the power of Christ from the dead. And there was much chattering about Jesus. There was much interest and anticipation with regard to who this one is and who this one is in regard to what he has come to do. And so Jesus goes to Bethsaida, and he goes to Bethphage, and he indeed comes down the Mount of Olives and enters into Jerusalem. And there is anticipation. There is an electrical buzz which is going throughout all of Jerusalem and the area around. There is the tingling of hair on the back of the neck. Through this one, people are whispering and saying, surely victory will come. Deliverance will come. Conquest will be ours. And so they take up the words of Psalm 118. Hosanna, save now. Hosanna in the highest. Save now, please. And there's anticipation as Jesus comes up to Jerusalem. He comes on a donkey. Our king, festal palms are taken out. Passover deliverance is at hand. And there's anticipation. Anticipation in Jerusalem and amongst the crowds for Jesus coming up to Jerusalem. He is acknowledged as the Blessed One who comes in the name of the Lord. And this is what is going on that Palm Sunday so long ago. Anticipation, excitement, intrigue, what is actually going to happen. But there is also something here which we need to understand, and that is not just the word anticipation, but the word confirmation. Confirmation, you may have heard it. You did hear it. You may remember that you heard it in Luke's gospel, that as the words of acclamation from the crowd are applied to Jesus of Nazareth, that there are some who are not pleased. In fact, they are greatly displeased. And we read in Luke's gospel in Luke 19, these words, some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd saying, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were very troubled that the crowd was applying Psalm 118 to this Jesus of Nazareth. They knew that Psalm 118 was a prophetic psalm. They knew it was a messianic psalm. And for the crowd to acclaim Jesus with the words of Psalm 118 meant that the people were acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah. And the Pharisees would have none of it. Indeed, the religious leaders are greatly troubled. And so voices come out of the crowd which are even louder than the acclamations of the crowd. "Teacher, rebuke them. Tamp them down. This is blasphemous." And do you remember how Jesus responded? Well, he responds by confirming that the acknowledgement and the acclamations of the crowd are not in error, but they are spot on. In fact, Jesus says this, "But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" Now Jesus will come up to Jerusalem. He will look over the city and he will weep for those who do not have eyes to see. But Jesus confirms that what is taking place on Palm Sunday is in fact the very fulfillment of prophecy that God had announced many centuries earlier. And it is Jesus who confirms for you and me today that he is the Blessed One who has come in the name of the Lord to do what we cannot do, to accomplish what we have failed to accomplish, and to be our Savior, the second Adam, to redeem us from our sin. And so on this Palm Sunday, this Psalm 118 Sunday, we see the anticipation in the crowds as they apply the words of Psalm 118 to Jesus of Nazareth, and we see the confirmation of the Lord Jesus Christ that he says, "Yes, I am the one who was prophesied of centuries ago, and I have come. And if you will not acknowledge it, the very stones will cry out and acknowledge it. They cannot remain silent, and nor must they be silenced, for I have come to do what no man can do." And this leads then to a third word for us to think about today, and it's the word correction. So not only is there anticipation, not only is there confirmation, but there is correction. Correction. How so? Well, it's throughout the next number of days that this correction will come into clearer focus. It's throughout the next number of days that this correction will be seen and will be understood. Oh, the crowds who are anticipating and Jesus who is confirming. Also, we see that there is a misunderstanding of what is going on. On the one hand, there is a correct understanding. I am who they say I am. But on the other hand, there is a misunderstanding which must be corrected. After all, what do the crowds think with regard to the fulfillment of Psalm 118? Well, the crowds are right that there is one who is coming to give deliverance. But the crowd's definition of deliverance is all wrong. The crowd wants deliverance from Rome. The crowd wants deliverance from governmental oppression. The crowd wants deliverance to be a free nation. The crowd wants an earthly deliverance. And in this way, they are all wrong and they must be corrected. In one sense, their quoting of Psalm 118, verse 25, "Hosanna, save now, I pray, O Lord," is premature. They are wanting the Messiah to give a rescue from the wrong things. And maybe you and I have this same temptation today. We want to be rescued from a volatile stock market. We want to be rescued from an economic downturn. We want to be rescued from any number of things besides the one thing needed. And Jesus in the next days which follow Palm Sunday, which lead to what we call Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, Jesus will correct the crowds. Yes, they are right in seeing me for who I am, but they have failed to see the true battlefield. And the same is often true today, that men and women and children fail to see the true battlefield where deliverance must take place. And even the crowds will fail to see their place in the battle. And it won't be until Friday that the crowds come to see that they are a part of the ones who are surrounding four times in this psalm the Blessed One of the Lord. Surrounding Him with their words, which change from "Hosanna, save now," to "Crucify Him. Crucify Him." There must be a correction to see the true battlefield and to see who is arrayed on that battlefield. It's in verse 22 of Psalm 118, "The stone which the builders rejected." The stone which the seed of Abraham rejected. The stone which the seed of Adam and Eve rejected. "All nations surrounded me." They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. They surrounded me like bees. He trusted in God. Let God deliver him, seeing that he said that God delights in him. Scorn and insult and blasphemy cast upon the Messiah of the Lord, from Hosanna to "Crucify Him." Their words of "Hosanna" need to be corrected to understand where the battlefield really lies. You see, they jump to the end of the psalm. They jump to the end of the psalm without seeing the pathway to get there. And there's only one pathway, and that's the pathway of verses 5 through 18. It's the pathway which Messiah must walk on. It's the pathway which Messiah must tread. It's the pathway which alone brings deliverance, the deliverance which is so desperately needed. And though the crowds cannot see it, Jesus sees it all. That these very crowds which give him acclaim on Palm Sunday, on Psalm 118 Sunday, will be the means whereby the greater exodus is accomplished, will be the means whereby the glorious end goal of Hosanna is accomplished. Many hands will be raised to wound him. None will interpose to save. And the deepest stroke which will strike him will be the stroke which justice gave, as he bears the sins of his people and walks the pathway of pain as he is surrounded fourfold over and yet looks to the Father who has sent him, who indeed has sent him in his name. And as the words of verses 17 and 18 come to pass between Friday and the next Lord's Day, I shall not die but live and recount the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus Christ had to die, but death does not have the final word, for he lives. And this is how the conquest will come, not for deliverance from the Roman government, not for deliverance from a volatile stock market, not for deliverance from the irritations of life, not for deliverance from my own pet needs that I think need to be satisfied, but deliverance from sin. The greater exodus will be accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so on that Palm Sunday long ago, there was anticipation, confirmation, and the week, the days which follow, tell us of correction. Correction. And this leads then to a last word which we want to think about today, and that is reorientation. Reorientation. I've already said that Hosanna doesn't come until the end of the psalm. And that the first part of the psalm needs to be walked through in order to get there. First the cross, then the crown. And that is the message here. First the cross, then the crown. It was just several days earlier in Matthew chapter 20, as Jesus is going up to Jerusalem, that he had spoken to his disciples. He had clarified to his disciples something. Something which they needed to understand. They needed to be of a different orientation than the crowds. There needed to be a reorientation. And we read in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 17 these words. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again." This is the reorientation even of Psalm 118. There is an emphasis in Psalm 118 on the righteous one, the victorious one. The victorious one on the field of battle. And Psalm 118 is written as a king who returns from the battle. And he returns victorious. And that is what we sense even in this return from the field of battle. The king coming, a focus upon the singular individual who has conquered in the name of the Lord. And he comes back to Jerusalem. And he comes to the temple, and he shouts, "Open the doors." It's in verse 19. "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord." You see, coming from the battle victorious, he now enters the gates. He opens, he demands that the gates of righteousness shall be open for him to go through, for only he is the righteous one. The response of the people inside say, "This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter." And the conquering king says, "Yes, I am the righteous one to enter through the gate of the Lord, the gate of righteousness." And so there is a shout to open up the gate in light of the victory. And this is clearly in light of victory on Resurrection Sunday. It's then that he shouts, "I shall give thanks. I will praise you. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The Father did not forsake the Son, nor allow him to see corruption, but raised him up on the third day according to the covenant of redemption and the promise which the Father had given to his Son. And so he shouts, I will praise you, I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and become my salvation. And then he exults, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And then all those who are inside respond and say, this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. We will rejoice and be glad in this day which the Lord has made. Here, a new day dawns. Here, the stone which they had rejected, which we had rejected, God announces to be precious, and God exalts to the highest. And note, it is not us who exalt him, it is the Lord. And it is marvelous in our eyes, for we had raised our hands against him. But here is the procession of the victorious king from the battlefield. He shouts, open to me the gates of righteousness. He shouts, I shall give thanks for the stone which you rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And the response then is, ah, apply the work of salvation which you have secured. Hosanna. Hosanna. Apply it. Apply it to us. Apply it to us that we indeed may experience victory in your victory. There's an acknowledgement in verse 27. God is the Lord and he has given us light. He's given us the light of his countenance in his beloved Son, who is the stone which the builders rejected but has now been exalted to the highest. God is the Lord and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords as far as the horns of the altar. And here the idea is, not so much bind Jesus as the sacrifice, but the idea is that the sacrifice of praise, we are bound to the altar to offer up our lives in thanksgiving and praise on behalf of what the victorious King has accomplished. God is the Lord and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. And so this back and forth, this call and response ends with Jesus having the final word in verses 28 and 29. You are my God and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Jesus, speaking as the God-man, the Messiah, the second Adam, acknowledges the Father as God over the new humanity redeemed in him. You are my God and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. And then this psalm ends with a call from Messiah, the victorious King, the singular righteous one who has returned victorious from the battle. It ends with his call to you and me. And that's where we end. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Yes, anticipation, confirmation, correction, reorientation, that Hosanna is the response to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it to be applied to me personally. And as I said, Jesus, the Messiah, gets the last word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. But this last word of Jesus is not meant to end in silence. It's meant to be responded to you, be responded to by you. Oh, won't you give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loving kindness, his mercy endures forever. Will you not give thanks to the Lord for him, for his goodness displayed in the providing of his Son to be our Savior? The word for give thanks is an interesting word in Hebrew. It literally means to have a bow and to put an arrow on it and to pull it back and to shoot. And God says that in light of Him giving His Son and the Son returning victorious from the battlefield, that the call for you and me is to put the arrow on the string and to pull it back and to shoot our thanksgiving unto the very throne room of God. That there would be not just an intellectual acknowledgement that Christ has returned victorious from the battlefield, but that there would be a full body and soul response to what Christ has accomplished on behalf of me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. That word good, we often think of it good versus bad, but that's not usually the emphasis in Scripture. Good is opposed to stingy, meaning God is generous. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Pull back the string. Let your arrow fly, because He's generous. He's given a gift which cannot be measured in value or in worth or in wonder. Oh, it is marvelous in our eyes. Pull back the bowstring. Shoot your thanks unto God, for He is generous. His mercy, undeserved. His loving kindness, showered upon sinners. Here is the fuel which fuels our thanksgiving to God, for His mercy endures not for a night, not for a week, not for a month, a year, a decade, a century, a millennium, but forever. Forever. And God has proven it to you. He's demonstrated it to you. And will you not respond? Yes, Jesus gets the last word in this psalm. But it's meant to stir you to speak, to respond, to believe, to draw near in Him. Yes, He's the only one who can go through the gates of righteousness. But here's a little secret. If you're trusting in Him, He brings you with Him, robed in His righteousness, sins washed away once and for all, everlasting life instead of everlasting death. This is the goodness, generosity of the Lord. And God sets it before us. And so what is your anticipation today? Has Jesus confirmed things for you today? Where do you need to be corrected in terms of your understanding of the deliverance which Christ alone can give? And how can you be oriented to turn your thanks to the Lord today? Yes, those crowds long ago were fickle. They were very fickle. But how is it that you can be turned from fickleness to faith? Only by seeing that the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Palm Sunday, Psalm 118 Sunday. May the Lord impress this beautiful passage, this great prophecy upon our hearts even today. Amen. Our Lord, we do pray now that we would know the great victory which Jesus Christ has accomplished. Deliverance from sin, guilt, death, and hell. This is where the true battle is, O God. May we see the enemies which are arrayed against our souls, and may we see that Jesus Christ, surrounded for us, has come forth the victor from the battlefield, and that He is our King. Indeed, He must be our King, or else we will be undone. And so, gracious God, may we long for the deliverance which Christ gives. May we long to give You thanks because you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Turn our hearts to you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.